We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WTIC, it's the Rant Line Hour. We'll get the rants going in just a moment. Let's talk to Mark in East Hartford. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Todd. You know, I'm a medical patient. Listening to the conversations, Connecticut's got it wrong from the start. It's probably not going to improve here in their marijuana program, recreational or medical. Massachusetts has more growers and is able to supply the demand for their customers and their patients. I choose to go to Massachusetts because the product's better. Connecticut has four growers, and they can't keep up with the demand of medical patients now. The dispensaries
really
never get their full orders that they want, and it's extremely limited. It takes 5 hours to get a prescription filled. It's cumbersome. So if they open this up recreationally, one of the things that one of these geniuses said on Capitol Hill was they were going to regulate the amount of THC that's going to be available to anyone that wants to use it recreation. You could drive 30 minutes up the road and get better product in Mass. They're going to shoot themselves in the foot. If they let us grow, they would probably reap more money in tax revenue for the amount of cost it takes to get up and started with even a small 5x5 grow tent. It's going to cost you about $5,000, maybe $6,000 to get going. And then you have to maintain all your product. This is super technical. You just don't put a seed in a pot and all of a sudden, 6 months later, you have a nice leaf plant that produced a few ounces. Anything can affect that grow on that plant. You have to be so on point of what you're doing. It's cool to learn. It's interesting to watch the whole process, and it's exciting to have an end result that produces something. But they would probably get more money from shops that would open up to provide the people the equipment and the nutrients they need every month to be able.
Well, so your point is that your point is the right one, which is they shouldn't be emphasizing what they can get. The politicians are making policy based on what can we get out of this? How can we continue to take money out of the economy without regard for how much we're squandering of the money that we already take? There is no fixing of programs to make them more efficient. There is no cutting of programs that are no longer needed. The spending is for their purposes, not for ours. And if they would just let the market do its thing, what you're saying is they would get the revenue streams they're looking for, and everybody would be happy, and we would have a just society instead of the corrupt, rigged system that big government provides. Thank you for that, Mark. Wonderful point. You got the accent, your weed the positive. It eliminates the negative. That's on to the affirmative. No best and mister in between. Here's a little something for Joe Markley and the rest of you who like show tunes. We've made it to the Rant Line time of the show, Rant Line Hour. 860-751-4698 is the Rant Line number. And it doesn't have to be rants. People are always calling in and they're, well, this isn't really a rant. It doesn't have to be a rant. It's just kind of a light, fun name that is designed to fit the format. You just have at it. Leave any kind of message you want. Now, before getting today's rants going, I want to play you one from yesterday because I think this is the rant that a lot of people in tonight's rants are responding to.
Yeah, I want to know why it is that everybody that calls into your show on the rant line is an old retired man. Why is it? Do they have time to sit around and think about stupid things to say? This is ridiculous. This show is a joke. you should go the way of that pastor guy and retire. Goodbye. Thank you, Governor Ned Lamont, for all you're doing.
I love that rant. Now, that's a rant. That is a good rant. Anyway, there's a number of people addressing that, so I just wanted you to have that, a little refresher course on that. And then earlier today, I played this next rant because I just thought it was so funny because the guy was ranting in the manner that he was objecting to people ranting. And I wasn't sure if he was being humorous or serious and didn't realize what he was doing.
So, yeah, I have a rant. I want to know why all your callers are so negative. Why don't they try being positive for once? Try making things better. This is what's wrong with this country. Everybody's got to be so negative. Negative, negative, negative.
I just love that.
Hi, Todd. It's Merle in New Hartford.
Hi, Merle.
That man that called in earlier on a rant saying that all of your listeners were old, retired men that called in. Well, if he's lucky and very fortunate, he also one day will be an old man who is retired. So let him put that in his pipe and smoke
it. Well, that's a
bye-bye now.
That's a really good point, isn't it? You can hope you become one of us.
Hey, Todd, the All-Star Game. I'm just disgusted with the politics getting involved. I'm disgusted with the way these people just cave into a vast minority of human beings out there. Baseball fans all over the place. How would you like to be a small business owner in Atlanta, looking forward to this huge influx of people and money and snatch right away from you, only to go out to Denver, which has an even more strict voting ideas out there. And it makes no sense. I'm disgusted with baseball. I'm not going to go to Fenway Park, which is my church, and I'm not going to go. That's it. I'm all done with Major League Baseball. Thanks.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Principle is a beautiful thing to live by. 860-522-9842. This is a really good message, I think. What's going on with what Major League Baseball is doing? It shows how power works. They're doing something that is supposedly compassionate, but there's no compassion in it. It's hateful, just like what the Democrats do. The Democrats are the party of hate, and all of the hateful policy they pursue, the plunder, the squandering of wealth, the huge debts they run up, the refusal to modify policies that hurt the people they represent, like unions controlling education, unions controlling policing, even in the face of a George Floyd situation. They refuse to stand up to those forces that they embrace and force them to change things a little bit. This is exactly the same thing. There is no principle here except this might make life easier on us. So let's pretend that this is something nice that we're doing here by moving the baseball game.
Hi, Todd. Chris from Wallingford. I'm listening to you talk about vaccine equity and monies being given to cities, I guess, to get this to happen. First of all, I thought the vaccine is free and supplied by the federal government. Second, I don't see how there's not equity. Everybody can spend an hour online each day trying to find an open appointment. It's ridiculous. I don't understand that concept at all. Have a good day.
Well, how about the concept of having to spend an hour online every day to try to get an appointment to get a vaccine? A vaccine that has its own equity program. That the federal government is going to dump $58 million into the state of Connecticut in order to help people who supposedly don't want a vaccine to get a vaccine because they're underserved by the Democrats who are in charge of serving them. It's all so ludicrous. The idea that anybody goes along with this is mind-boggling.
Hey, Todd, is the chief invalid in charge ever going to give a State of the Union address? Isn't that very important for a president to do? Nobody thinks anything's wrong with that, huh?
860-522-9842. Don't forget, we do take live calls during the rant line hour. A little later in this hour, Len Suzio will drop by to talk about some of the stuff being legislated up at the state capitol, some of the corrupt, biased vote rigging schemes they're working on. Oh, it's just unlimited. Unlimited.
Hello, Todd. This is an anonymous listener.
Oh.
Who's been listening pretty actively. I enjoy the show.
I know who this I know who this anonymous listener is.
Hello, Todd. This is an anonymous listener who's been listening pretty actively. I enjoy the show.
You enjoy
it,
huh? I hope
to keep listening in the future.
Well, that's good news.
Time allows. But I wanted to make a point about the MLB All-Star Game and their move from Atlanta to Denver. And essentially the culture narrative around this and how it's just ridiculous. I don't understand. As someone, a younger person who considers myself someone who leans left, considers myself a Democrat, I just don't understand how a 51% black city is now going to suffer economically because they want to be in the front of the news and the MLB wants to look good for the rest of the country. Just act like these Georgia laws are terrible when they're really, it's more restrictive to vote in Denver. Just please explain something to me. I don't really get it.
Because
have a good day.
As a left-leaning person who supports Democrats, everything they do is like that. Everything is like that. That's what they do. That's the business they're in. Convoluting, contorting, pretzel logic, squeezing things through extruders that change their shapes, but the essence of what they are still corrupt and destructive.
Hey, Todd. This is Candace from Chicago. And I just wanted to weigh in here with the guy who thinks that your show is filled with old retired white men with stupid things to say. I'm not old. I am not retired. And I frequently listen to your show without comment because of the interesting things many of the white men, black men, brown men, and every other kind of man has to say, and the women as well. So, you know, I just had to put a plug in there. It's not all men. Some women are listening, but we're busy doing other things while the radio's on. So thanks for what you do. Bye.
Thank you, Candace. You didn't address white supremacy, though.
President Trump was in charge. That's all we heard. It was 1,000 more deaths on Trump's hands. 1,000 a day been dying since this moron's been in office. And all we hear is crickets from the media.
Well, that's how it works. Death is different when it's supervised by Democrats.
Hey, the employee of the Ned Lamont administration that called to praise the governor, wake up, smell the roses. Just because you call Todd and throw the hate at Todd, that doesn't mean that Ned Lamont is wonderful. He's still a piece of crap. Talk to you later.
That wasn't hate being focused on me. That was just jive talking.
Just old retired white guys calling in. I love that guy. I wonder if he cares that an old retired white guy whose brain is basically useless and can't stay on his feet is now the president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Not at all.
And also, I'm going to thank Ned Lamont also. Thank you for being a corrupt, shady liar that used his position to make millions on coronavirus testing through his wife's company, Semaphore. Thank you, Ned Lamont. Love you.
Accentuate. You still have that song handy, Joe? If you could hit a little more of that, it would be good because it's just the right flavor for this whole conversation.
Hey, Todd, this is Wayne from Meriden. Our American flag is being flown at half mast. It seems like every few days being flown at half mast. What is that for? Usually the only protocol for the flag being flown at half mast is if a high-ranking governor official passes away, like the president. And I could see that for, like, when they did it on 9/11, but don't tell me that it's for the shooting victims that are happening in the United States. I mean, they, you know, that happens, and we can do nothing about it.
All right. Thank you for that call. 860-522-9842 is the regular phone line if you want to call in, and the rant line, 751-4698.
Yeah, hi, this is Joe from South Windsor, and this is for the guy, angry guy, and who loves Ned Lamont. And what I'd like to say is that, yes, it's a fact. We are old, retired men, white and otherwise. And what we have in common is decades of work that gave us pensions. And now we have unlimited time to drive liberal lunatics crazy by calling the rant line incessantly, nonstop, and throwing our oldness in his face.
Throwing our oldness in his face. Not everybody is retired, but it's true. There are a ton of retired people who call in and create that impression about the station that it's not also filled with all kinds of listeners of different persuasions. But I love this conversation. I love everybody being so in a twist, in a tizzy over little things that people say. It's great. I mean, we should be mixing it up. We should be talking. We should be sorting things out. And the idea that somebody called like that and is so critical of the good thing that conversation represents. Again, here's the call that they're responding to. I mean, conversation is just such a positive thing. Having a community around ideas, that the interesting thing is that's why he's listening. That's why people listen so much to WTIC that they get irate and have to call up to complain about what they listen to all day long.
So, yeah, I have a rant. I want to know why all your callers are so negative. Why don't they try being positive for once? Try making things better. This is what's wrong with this country. Everybody's got to be so negative. Negative, negative, negative.
You see? He doesn't get it. He's doing the thing he claims to hate while he's listening all day long. I love human beings. And this guy.
Yeah, I want to know why it is.
Wait, is he the same guy?
Yeah, I want to know why it is that everybody that calls into your show on the rant line is an old retired man. Why is it? Do they just have time to sit around and think about stupid things to say?
We need a little. Just imagine Martin Luther King speaking right there. I have a dream. What is that dream about? Do you remember what that dream is about? It's such a beautiful idea that's been totally abandoned by the people who claim to love Martin Luther King. His dream is to see his children playing outside with kids of other races. His dream is for a time when they can play together without it even penetrating their consciousness, being totally unaware that there are racial differences. And the party that claims to worship at the altar of Martin Luther King is spending all of its time and effort making sure that nobody ever forgets about race as a societal dynamic. It's amazing.
Yeah, you had a guest on talking about the Connecticut being now tied with Massachusetts for the income. It made me think because I know Connecticut doesn't even have a county in the top 25 right now. Connecticut's actually six. I looked it up on U.S. News and World Report. Maryland is number one. Massachusetts, New Jersey, Hawaii, California.
This was a conversation yesterday about the wealth of Connecticut, which is based on, when people say it's the richest state, that's based on per person income. And I think, Ranter, what you're referring to, the U.S. News and World Report rating, is based on household income. There's a lot of ways to crunch these numbers that might have little differences in them that make different outcomes. So don't get all in a tizzy over it. Yes, we fight the laws, and often the laws win. 860-522-9842. Michael Leibowitz calling from prison, so we'll delay for a couple of minutes the playing of today's Jolly Ned's Comedy Club. Lebo, what's going on?
Well, I'm just sitting around thinking about something stupid to say. But
yes? Did that take a lot of... Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to compliment you on the great interview yesterday with Kevin Brookman. He said something that really struck me, in that when he exposed the Deadpool scandal in Hartford, he said that the police were more concerned about who snitched than actually fixing the problem. And that reminded me of a story a few years back when I think five or six correctional officers got caught sleeping on the job. And they said the same thing. There's a rat in the guard shed. They were very concerned about who told. And the woman who was a 911 operator in the Derek Chauvin situation with George Floyd, when she called, I think she called the chief of police, she told him, "You can call me a snitch if you want to." So it seems that this idea of thinking of cops who turn in other cops as snitches is pretty widespread. And I just think that those cops who have that attitude should remember that they're there to uphold the law, not to protect their coworkers who violate it.
It's funny that you got provoked by that, because I thought of you when I heard it. It sounds a lot like what you're talking about that goes on in prison all the time.
But with the police on the outside, that's when the public actually gets to deal with them. Imagine how bad it is in here where the public never has to come across them.
Yes. All right, Lebo, good to hear from you.
But thanks a lot, and hello to Senator Susio.
Thank you, sir. Dave in Brantford, hello there.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for picking me up. I'd like to give a shout-out to Leibowitz, who I consider one of the intellectual thought leaders on your show. I really approve.
Yes.
He reminds me of Milton Friedman, and I mean that. This is one of those old guys who's sitting in a chair, jumped up from his retirement to make a phone call. I want to talk about inflation. I saw an ABC News report talking about the high prices of stuff in the grocery store recently, paper goods, coffee, meat, vegetables, etc. And they blamed it, get this, Todd, on the cloggage in the Suez Canal, weather problems in Texas, crop shortages in America because of the difficulty hiring, a bad coffee crop in South America. The problem with this thinking is, Todd, they blame it on everything but what it really is, which is a monetary problem caused by too many dollars chasing too few goods. Classic inflation. But the news report didn't even use the word inflation. They made it sound like the people supplying the paper goods were the problem. The people supplying the coffee were the problem.
The excuses are so easy to come by, Dave. Sorry, I've got to hold you right there. As you know, Steve from NBC Haddam is away on work this week, so we're doing replays of vintage Jolly Ned's Comedy Club performances.
Welcome to...
And here we go with another one.
Welcome to Jolly Ned's Comedy Club, home of the professional stand-up comedy show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our next comedian has a lot of hobbies, but his favorite is playing the governor of Connecticut. Put your hands together for Ned Lamont.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Chris Murphy, anything you do down in Washington, D.C. to reduce taxes, we'd sure appreciate it. Yeah, I'm not going to predict that yet, but Dick Blumenthal and Chris Murphy. Yeah, look at those numbskulls. You know, Warwick and Horror, our old creaky computer system over at Department of Labor, has had to do some sprightly moving. That's it. It's at the start of my consciousness every day. Again, one last thing. Back to those Yukon parties. Hold down the party. I guess that's it. Hey, thanks, everybody.
Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it? I like the vintage stuff. Steve will be back next week. Don't forget, you can check it out on Facebook. Go to Facebook and search for Jolly Ned's Comedy Club, and you'll find all of them there. If you just want to sit around and have a Jolly Ned Comedy Club party, you can do so. 860-522-9842. We'll try to get some more rants in later, but Len Susio is here to talk to us about, well, some things
about
that are going on that might not. Yeah, a lot of things. What's up, Len? Nice to have you here.
It's very nice to be on your show again, and I have got spring fever right now. It's happening, Todd. It's finally coming. You and I were talking earlier today. I told you I sailed across Long Island Sound yesterday, was having a wonderful, enjoyable time. The wind was blowing nice. We were cruising along at 8 knots. And then, as we got offshore of New Haven, the wind stopped blowing. And I thought to myself, well, I'm dependent on the wind blowing. I'm in a sailboat right now. But at least it's not as bad as being dependent on my electricity for wind. When that stops, what happens? And we're heading towards that. We are heading under Jolly Ned's regime to 100% reliance on renewable energy, which is a misnomer, actually. Wind is available only on average about 25% of the time. So the other 75% of the time, you have to rely on either the
Well, wait a sec. You're exaggerating. That's why they have solar. The solar is sitting there waiting for the wind not to blow.
That's right. You know, at midnight tonight, we'll rely on solar when the wind is quiet, basically. Of course, there won't. Maybe they haven't invented lunar energy yet, but maybe that we'll get to that. We could have solar during the day and lunar at night when the sun is shining and when the moon is out and not hiding on the horizon. But it just shows me I enjoyed sailing. Even it was a beautiful day anyways, but I don't think I enjoy it too much if my electricity got cut off. And what am I going to do when my air conditioner runs out or my heat gets turned off because there's not enough electricity or I don't have lights on in the house? And that's
so what do
headed.
You figure? You're saying that Jolly Ned is pursuing plan that is on a crash course with lights out when electricity is needed most. What do you think is going on here?
Well, he has explicitly, overtly said that he'd like to go 100% renewable by 2040. He doesn't seem to understand that that is completely unrealistic. It can't be done. It's impossible to be done.
Well, maybe he's including nuclear in that category.
No. Well, that's the thing that you and I talked about a few weeks ago. The bills that were passed in 2019 set the stage for the close down of Millstone here in Connecticut. And that means no more nuclear-based energy, which is carbon-free, by the way. If you're really concerned about carbon emissions, you'd think you want to keep nuclear going. And he's going to replace it completely with this contract the legislature approved for the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, DEEP, to sign contracts for long-term wind procurement that will be in the 2,000 gigawatts area. 2,000 gigawatts is the equivalent of what Millstone puts out every year. So it has set the stage for 10 years from now for the closure of Millstone and its replacement with nothing but wind energy. That not only means we're going to have unreliable energy, we're going to have much more expensive energy, we're going to have 1,600 good high-paying jobs at Millstone be closed down. And at the same time, we're talking about an energy source, wind in this case, or solar in the other case, that requires 100% backup with fossil fuels. Because when the sun is not shining and the wind's not blowing, you're either going to have a choice of shutting down and not having your electricity on, or you're going to have to go back to fossil fuels during
Well, which do you think is their plan? Because that is the crux of it.
You know, I served at the legislature, and I would say most politicians up there have a time horizon that's no longer than 2 years out, their next election, basically. And I don't think they understand what they're doing in this situation because it is such, in my opinion, I'll say it, it's stupid policy. It's just going to shoot themselves in the foot. But they're this religion that's developed around how we've got to go into green energy. Regardless of how expensive it is and how unreliable it is and how extravagant it is, again, Todd, I'll remind you and in your audience that you have to have 100% backup for unreliable sources of energy like wind and solar. And that means you're going to have lots of capacity sitting idle a lot of the time. And so in addition to paying for wind and solar, you got to pay for all that backup power while it's sitting there doing nothing, waiting for the wind to stop blowing or the sun to stop
Yeah,
shining.
This is like the electricity equivalent of buying a hybrid. and needing to have a car mm-hmm. with an engine and a motor in it so that you can
yeah.
so you can be green. The next, and not enough wind to propel the propellers of a windmill. And what do we do about that?
Well, the only thing you can do is you have to have backup plants that are based on reliable sources, meaning fossil fuels. And again, it's not like, oh, okay, the wind will be available a certain period of time, and you know we've got these fossil fuel plants. The fossil fuel plants have to be available 100% of the time because when the wind's blowing is unpredictable. So it's not like you can have backup capacity of only 25% or 30% or 50%. So even though wind is typically available only 25, maybe to 30% of the time, since you don't know when it's going to occur, you have to have 100% backup for all your energy needs at any given time.
What has happened? They've been talking for years about developing techniques for storing this electricity that's generated by the passive systems of generating power. I even met a guy once who owns, no, he's the CEO of a company that stores energy by compressing air inside of pipes in the ground. They have all these complex schemes to try to figure out how to make this energy storable and retrievable. Have any of those made any progress that you know of?
Yeah, there's actually salt water batteries, which are supposedly pretty effective at storing, and they're reasonably cheap. They'd be appropriate for substituting for plant generators, but they weigh a lot, so it's not the kind of battery you put in a car. But they're reasonably inexpensive and they're pretty efficient. But even then, the technology isn't anywhere close to where you can store enough energy to replace a shutdown due to, again, the wind not blowing or the sun not shining. To give you an example, the largest battery plant in the world, and when I say battery plant, I don't mean producing batteries. I mean backup batteries.
Storage.
Out in California. It was built in the last year by Tesla. It has the capacity to supply the electricity needs of approximately 65,000 homes for 4 hours. So, okay, wow. That's the largest battery plant in the world right now. And Connecticut has probably at least 650,000 homes, probably more like double that. So you would need like 20 of those plants in Connecticut alone just to back up our electric needs. And we're a relatively small state. It would be incredibly expensive, and again, that's only for 4 hours of time. It's not like, it will take care of a full day. So the battery technology is not even close. There was a very interesting study I was looking at the other day talking about energy efficiency, and they were looking at comparing gas for cars and trucks to basic batteries. And they found out that when it comes to the weight, it was basically a gallon of gas was the equivalent to something like 350 or 400 pounds of batteries. You're not going to put that through. That's what they're putting in cars right now, basically. But the car will get only a gallon of gas will get you, 30 miles to the gallon or something like that. So they got to put hundreds of more pounds into the car. And when it's measured by volume, it's something like 15 times more volume, meaning the area taken up by batteries than 1 gallon of gas would take up. So,
you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I want to bring this around to some kind of thesis that people can walk away with. And it occurred to me today that all the destructive things that Democrats are pushing right now, like this, these Biden spending plans are insane. And the only thing I can think of is that they see a transitional moment where they can invest, that there's a demographic shift going on. Young people are of a totally different mindset than you and I in terms of this kind of policy. They're totally down with it. They're totally down with equity policy. Young people, millennials, this all makes perfect sense to them. Getting rid of the American system of government all makes perfect sense. So you use a moment like this with a tragedy like the virus, and you look at the virus and you say the virus is going to define the next several years at least, and we're going to build for that future, and forget about all these old people who understand things like liberty and energy generation that works. And that politically they see this as a win, even if it makes no sense on a practical basis. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes. I again, the problem with politicians is their time horizon is just the next campaign, and that's it. So all they want to do is get through the next 2 years for most of them. And that means they don't think about the long-term implications of what they're doing. And it all boils down to, do we have an issue that we can rile people up about, get them emotionally turned onto or turned off to, as the case may be? Emotions motivate people to vote. You and I sitting here talking rationally and A, B, C, D, we can explain
okay.
things.
So none of this stuff has to prove itself in real life. It only has to prove itself politically.
That's right. That's what wins in politics. Unfortunately, we pay the price for it when it fails to produce what the promise is.
All right, Len Susio, who knows a thing or two about politics because he's been a state senator for a couple of cycles. Thank you, sir. Nice to talk with you. We'll do it again soon.
I'm looking forward.
All righty. Thank you. We're looking forward to, and we're looking forward to seeing you out on Long Island Sound in your big, beautiful one percenter sailboat. Thank you, Len.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.